Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This Wednesday, August 23rd, 2017. Once again, I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We're all Road Warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And again, as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. This, again, is a broadcast centered on, well, the way Jefferson put it, classic liberalism, in an effort to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights, rather than the regimented control of everyone's lives, every aspect of everyone's lives, from dawn till dusk, every day, from cradle to grave, that we've seen imposed on American society increasingly since the turn of the 20th century, really, in the creation of these nonprofit foundations. According to the Reese Committee, from around 1903 onward. And that hasn't changed. But we are armed and equipped, well, we should be armed and equipped with the facts of the Reese Committee's findings and others like it, to be able to throw off the chains of tyranny, so to speak, shed them, kind of like the scales on Paul's eyes when he became the Apostle Paul. We should be able to, in an effort to protect individuals in the free exercise of their natural rights, as Jefferson put it. But it is rather difficult because it's an overwhelming task. Again, we hear the call to action, Mike Rivero's call to action in the breaks, support the network. And for the last 2 days, I've been focusing on this issue and saying it's an incredibly one-sided battle in which we find ourselves. And the litmus test in this case is, where is the Ford Foundation to, in its grant making, or other organizations, Ford Foundation as an example, to support the work of RBN? Where is the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation to support the work of RBN? Where is the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation to support the work of RBN? Where is the Knight Foundation? Where are the infinite many numbers and a number of them, the Knight Foundation is one, focus on alternative broadcasting. Why is it, or supposed alternative broadcasting? But really, there is no alternative, is there? Their efforts are really to kind of sew up the narrative, use their grant-making powers and the like-minded agenda to control all thought and all life, all activity. Again, as I said yesterday, it is a way to stamp out creativity and individual critical thought and create mindless automatons who then live out the rest of their lives in a sort of Truman Show fashion, where every aspect of their lives are regimented in a way, controlled and regimented in a way that they don't even perceive. Which is why I opened yesterday's broadcast with Arthur C. Clarke's third law: any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. But Chris, that just sounds absurd. Every aspect of their lives controlled? All right, well, like I said, one litmus test is, where are the foundations with their grant-making ability for the work of RBN? Why are there not dozens of RBN and more growing all the time, when this is a network that's dedicated to, well, freedom and liberty in simple terms? The old idea of Americana, rugged individualism, leave me alone, leave us alone. If we want help, we'll ask you. Now, the zombie mob wants to kind of encroach on you no matter what you do, everywhere you go. they might ask, but they don't mean to ask. It's just a gratuitous statement at this point. Do you need help? As they come in and start doing things. I don't know about you. As a brief aside, I don't particularly like help these days, because as one author puts it, as I've said before, I forget the name of the author in the book. I've mentioned it, but it escapes my mind at the moment. But as the author put it, to kind of paraphrase quickly, most people these days have a pornographic addiction to tragedy to stave off their own boredom. Most people are mindless automatons because they've been engineered, socially engineered, psychologically manipulated to be that way. And they feel like hollow automatons. And so to stave off their own boredom, they have this sort of pornographic addiction to tragedy, which is why I believe the author is a psychologist, and he wrote about a man who came to see him and said, you know, I used to talk to friends like at church about my marriage and how things weren't going well. I thought I could confide in friends and say, this is what's going on. Get some kind of godly counsel, so to speak, from people whom I respected at church and so forth. But gradually I began to withdraw from that and didn't really tell them anything, because I felt that they were asking me questions that were inappropriate, and they seemed to have a morbid fascination, this pornographic addiction to tragedy. They wanted to live vicariously through my train wreck of a marriage to stave off their own boredom, it seemed. Again, paraphrasing. So I don't know about you, but I don't want help, because it seems help is largely comprised, and help is a relative term, apparently, but help is largely comprised of folks like that who are not helpful. In fact, they'd rather help screw your life up so that they can watch and eat popcorn as the slow motion train wreck unfolds. But I digress. So we're talking about the Reese Committee. I mentioned the words from the description of the Amazon listing for Renee Wormser's book, originally published in 1958, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, republished in 1993. Let me just give you another little excerpt from that, just kind of reiterate the last part of that, and we'll move on. Wormser writes, it's difficult to understand that some of the great foundations which have done so much for us in some fields, people will argue, well, haven't they done great things? Sure. They've acted tragically against the public interest in other areas, but the facts are there for the unprejudiced to recognize, as Wormser puts it. So, step away from your political views. Just read the facts. Foundations, their power and influence. Continuing, the power of an individual foundation giant is enormous, but when there is like-mindedness among a group of these giants, which apparently is due to the existence of a closely knit group of professional administrators, remember Philip Drew, administrator, in the social science field, aha, see, we're getting somewhere, the power is magnified hugely. So the individual power is immense, but the like-mindedness, the seeming lock, the lock, as the Reese Committee put it in their findings, there is a lock of like-mindedness. The power, the huge power, is magnified immensely. When such foundations do good, they justify tax-exempt status, which the people grant them. When they do harm, it can be immense harm. There's virtually no counterforce to oppose them. You hear that? There's virtually no counterforce to oppose them. At least that's what Renee Wormser wrote when he was directly involved with the Reese Committee's work back in the early 1950s. So there was virtually no counterforce to oppose them back in the early 1950s, and their efforts had gone on for some 50 years at that point. 40 or 50 years in most cases. Uh, continuing uninhibited, where do you think they are now? And just a brief bit on that, I mentioned the statement from the book description. It says he also witnessed the, Rene Wormser that is, witnessed the intense and powerful opposition to any investigation of these multi-billion dollar public trusts. So they are underwritten essentially by the American people, who are beguiled by them, believing that they do only good work. And multi-billion dollar is something that cannot be understated. As tax-exempt organizations, it reminds me of that old Bugs Bunny cartoon. One for me, one for you. One, two for me, two for you. One, two, three for me, three for you. So the former is geometric progression, while the latter is linear. That's the difference between the foundations and what you and I experience. You think about all the changes that have occurred in the last 20 or so years, a little bit more than that, but definitely in the last 20. The 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are essentially all in full effect. The transfer of wealth from one generation of a family to another has become virtually impossible in this country through things like the death tax and so forth. It is virtually impossible to pass anything, wealth and so forth, of any kind of meaning and value on to your posterity. And the Bible tells us to do that, by the way. It's not a bad thing. So it's become virtually impossible for you and I, the common man in America, to do that. Meanwhile, these public trusts, these tax-exempt foundations and comparable organizations go on unimpeded in their geometric growth. Remember, if you double a penny every day, you take a penny, you double it every day, for 30 days, you have over $1 million at the end of the 30 days. That's the way that these foundations grow. So they are free. They grow without friction, so to speak, without any kind of draw on their growth. Meanwhile, you and I have the break of taxes and the death tax and so forth that prevents you and I from essentially competing. It's almost as if they're operating by Jack Welch's mantra: if you don't have a competitive advantage, don't compete. So they have stripped away our competitive advantages and provided or created an overwhelming lock on this mind control, this social science and engineering effort. And so as Rene Wormser wrote back in 1958, there's virtually no counterforce to oppose them. What we see in here in the media is just, if there's anything that appears to be opposition, really in almost every case, it's just banging around in that end of the pool, so to speak. But getting back to the Reese Committee, the House Select Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations and Comparable Organizations' second effort, Carol Reese's Reese Committee. Carol Reese's statement, which was shortly after the Reese Committee was itself commissioned. Carol Reese's statement, May 11th, 1954, and then some words from Norman Dodd in his testimony. It's shocking stuff. So, Carol Reese had a long opening statement that day, but I'll just give you some of the some of his opening words and the a few little brief excerpts. Again, Carol Reese testifying before Congress as the chairman of the Reese Committee. He said, "Mr. Speaker, I do not say this lightly, but in my opinion, the subject embraced in House Resolution 217 now before us is one of the very important matters pending in Washington. No one seems to know the number of tax-exempt foundations. There are probably 300 foundations or organizations which have great tax exemptions. These exemptions cover inheritances, income, and capital gains taxes. The majority of these organizations are honestly and efficiently conducted. In the past, they have made a magnificent contribution to our national life. In the past, the majority have justified these tax exemptions, even though the probable cost to the taxpayer runs into the billions." Now remember, this is the early 1950s. "Certainly the Congress has a right and a duty to inquire into the purposes and conduct of institutions to which the taxpayers have made such great sacrifices. In any event, the Congress should be concerned itself with certain weaknesses and dangers which have arisen in a minority of these. Some of these activities and some of these institutions support efforts to overthrow our government and to undermine our American way of life. These activities urgently require investigation. Here lies the story of how communism and socialism are financed in the United States, where they get their money. It is the story of who pays the bill." Think about it. It's not the dirty, unseemly, ground-level advocate of communism and socialism. No, no, it's the white-collar, blue-blooded, silver-spooned Ivy League folk that are funding these efforts. But then this goes back to what Smedley Butler talked about and what John Spivak wrote about the McCormick-Dickstein Committee back in the 30s. It's the same effort. And then back to the effort to investigate these committees back in 1912. But I digress. "There's evidence," Carol Reese said, before Congress, "to show, there is evidence to show, there is," listen to these words, this is Carol Reese, congressman, before the committee in his congressional testimony, he said, "there is evidence to show there is a diabolical conspiracy back of all this. Its aim," yes, what is its aim? "Its aim is the furtherance of socialism in the United States. Communism is only a brand name for socialism," he said, "and the communist state represents itself to be only the true form of socialism. The facts will show that, as usual, it is the ordinary taxpaying citizen who foots most of the bill, not the communists and socialists, who know only how to spend money, not how to earn it. The method by which this is done seems fantastic to reasonable men." Again, as I said in yesterday's the opening of yesterday's broadcast, Arthur C. Clarke's third law, insufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And that's essentially what Carol Reese said. It sounds fantastic to reasonable men. We'll talk more when we come back. Stick around, Loretta.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
All kinds of great stuff floating around on the internet, and it just gets more and more difficult, it seems, all the time to find things. There are efforts that seem to be good, like cleaning up the internet, making it easier to view things on different devices. But as I talk about the congressional testimony of folks like Carol Reese and Norman Dodd and Thomas McNeese during the Reese Committee hearings, I can't help but wonder, as we look at the PDF copies and the text extracts from, the text extrapolated from the PDF documents, mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder, where is the Google effort to clean up the congressional record? Because you know, as well as I, if you've ever tried to copy any of that text from those PDFs that are horribly scabbed and marked up in many cases, especially in some of the most critical areas. Oftentimes folks have printed off a copy somewhere along the way and marked them up for their own personal use, which is great. And sometimes that's even more informative to help see, kind of skip to the most provocative points. But where is the effort to clean that up and to crowdsource the cleaning up and to share these far and wide? Just, again, kind of speaks to where we're at. So, again, getting back to Carol Reese's testimony before Congress, May 11, 1954, when he said these words, Carol Reese, the chairman of the Reese Committee, as part of the House Select Committee to investigate tax-exempt foundations and comparable organizations. A congressman and chair of the Reese Committee, Carol Reese, said, there is evidence to show there is a diabolical conspiracy back of all this. Its aim is the furtherance of socialism in the United States. Communism is only a brand name for socialism, and the communist state represents itself to be only a true to be the only true form of socialism. The facts will show that, as usual, it is the ordinary taxpaying citizen who foots most of the bill, not the communists and socialists, who now only know how to spend money, not how to earn it. The method by which this is done seems fantastic to reasonable men, indistinguishable from magic, right? Clark's law, third law. For these communists and socialists seize control of fortunes left behind by capitalists when they die. Aha! Back to the Fabian socialists and Cecil Rhodes' last will and trust. Remember? Last will and testament. Cecil, the Rhodes Milner Roundtable and Cecil Rhodes dying wish, essentially, to seize these fortunes. The method by which this is done seems fantastic to reasonable men. For these communists and socialists seize control of fortunes left behind by capitalists when they die and turn these fortunes around to finance the destruction of capitalism. Oh, preposterous! It sounds fantastic to reasonable men. Is there proof? Yes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
About the Reese Committee hearings and what that has to do with the social sciences, the social engineers, and the regimenting and controlling of every aspect of your life, every day, literally, from morning to night, from cradle to grave. The Reese Committee proved that there was an effort behind the scenes to do just that, to socially engineer life for everyone in America, in such a way as to be subtle, so subtle and imperceptible that really no one notices, obviously, and that everyone thinks they're living their own lives. Again, Goethe's quote, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free," is apropos in this case, among many others. But if you haven't read the Reese Committee's findings, may I strongly urge you to read the congressional testimony. I have been reading the last couple of days from the archive.org entry titled "The Subversion of America by Tax-Exempt Foundations, 1953 Investigation, the Reese Hearings." And it's about 2,000 pages, the actual PDF document that you can download there. But read it however works for you, whether that's printing off a few pages or many pages, or just reading it online, or downloading the text version, whatever. Just a cursory review of those 2,000 or any of those 2,000 pages is shocking all by itself. You know, there are those free libraries that are cropping up all across the country these days that have fun little books in them, some better than others. But I wonder, could we start a free, a network of free libraries that include documents like this, for example? And it's interesting in the fashion of the allegory of the cave from Plato's Republic. Most people would shun this kind of information. You know, as Orwell said, in the age of deceit, truth becomes treason, that kind of thing. Most folks would not only shun and not believe this kind of information, but they would probably try to lynch the people that would try to provide this liberating information to them, again, in the fashion of the allegory of the cave from Plato's Republic. Unfortunately, maybe not. I hope not. I really think if there is any possible opportunity of us not going off the cliff entirely as a society, which we seem to be doing now with technology providing a complete lock in a short period of time, I'm reminded like of John Christopher's tripod series, for example, that I read as a young man, I think published in the late 60s, John Christopher writing about those skull caps and things that they would put on people to, well, for mind control. And so we have those kinds of dystopian novels that cast a future that some folks would actually enjoy creating to control everyone else, but I digress. So wouldn't it be lovely, I think, if we could somehow create a network of those kinds of free libraries that offer this kind of documentation of history, perhaps in Jeffersonian fashion, to inform their discretion, so to speak. So from the Rees Committee hearings, briefly, Aaron Sargent was a San Francisco attorney, and the committee gave 3 days to the testimony of Aaron Sargent. As the Wikipedia entry for the House Select Committee to Investigate Tax-Exempt Foundations and Comparable Organization puts it, Aaron Sargent's political and economic thinking could be judged in the context of the Rees Committee hearings by his charge that, quote, the U.S. income tax was part of a plot by Fabian socialists operating from England to pave the way for socialism in this country. Now, I add that because you have the testimony of Carol Rees, and some folks will want to perhaps dissect Rees's remarks on communism and socialism. Let me assure you, the committee was well-versed on Fabian socialism, and to that regard, I give you Aaron Sargent's further remarks regarding the Fabian socialists. And all of these, see, there were the foundations, but then there were the government organizations that they were funding. And those were all outlined and defined by Norman Dodd, for example, early on in the Rees Committee hearings. And that's there for you to read. I won't bore you with that. But here is... Here are the words, again, of Aaron Sargent, who was very informative as far as getting to the facts of what was going on with regard to this effort to alter life in America and to control everyone. So Aaron Sargent said at one point during his testimony, those 3 days, I am giving you facts and not opinion. First of all, in approaching this problem of the foundation influence, the subversive teaching problem is a foundation problem. And the foundation problem, in turn, is a political problem with many ramifications. What does he mean? Well, he'll explain. From the American standpoint, it had its beginning shortly before the turn of the century in the 1890s. This movement is closely related to Fabian socialism, which became established in Great Britain about 1885 and developed into the movement which has undermined and almost destroyed the economic system of Great Britain. When the beachhead was established in our country, we had three bulwarks of defense. First, there was a sound tradition founded on Americanism. Secondly, a written constitution. And finally, federal judicial power in the courts capable of enforcing constitutional rights. The radical intellectuals attacking that system relied upon propaganda and brainwashing. Remember Propaganda Post in 1928 after decades of doing exactly what Bernays wrote about? The radical intellectuals attacking that system, those three pillars, relied upon propaganda and brainwashing. They organized an attack upon patriotism, challenging basic American philosophy founded on the doctrine of natural law. They organized an attack upon patriotism, challenging basic American philosophy founded on the doctrine of natural law. They sought to create a blackout of history by slanting and distorting historical facts. They introduced a new and revolutionary philosophy, one based on the teachings of John Dewey. As early as 1892, they sought to establish the federal income tax to pave the way for national federal socialism. This had the effect of putting the people on an allowance. The UBI sound familiar? It's the next generation of that now, universal basic income. This had the effect of putting the people on an allowance, giving the national government unlimited power to spend for socialistic purposes and reducing the people to its will. It was proposed to carry out other parts of the socialistic program by false and slanted propaganda. Eventually, the judicial power itself was to be undermined by court packing and by attacks calculated to make the courts subject to the executive. And I have documented that well in the Administrative Procedure Act and where that came from and how it impacted American life, essentially really sewing up the power and authority of the three duly constituted branches and rolling all of that power and authority up into the administrative fourth branch, which, by the way, is the most powerful of the four branches of government and the one that we don't learn about in what is so-called school. Imagine that. Education, continuing with Mr. Sargent's testimony, education is one of the vital areas involved in this attack on the American system. The field includes not only elementary and secondary schools, but also our colleges and universities. The tax-exempt foundations are directly involved. Because they have supported this movement in the past and are still promoting it in ways which restrict educational activities and control public opinion. Speaking of that, and his shocking statement that they introduced a new and revolutionary philosophy, one based on the teachings of John Dewey. You find folks like John Taylor Gatto that will tell you the truth about John Dewey. How many voices do you hear that are critical of John Dewey and the Dewey Decimal System? How many voices do you hear critical of Dewey today? Again, it's an entirely one-sided narrative. The history of this movement is a record of the greatest betrayal which has ever occurred in American history. Wow. Those are conclusions based on the evidence I will present to you, and I am here for the purpose of proving them. To understand these conditions, it is necessary to trace briefly the history and development of the American subversive movement. And then, as I have said, enter Mr. Hayes here to try to distract and divert the line of discussion. But that, speaking of the Fabian socialist effort, was what attorney Aaron Sargent had to say in his 3 days worth of testimony regarding this nefarious plot and its relation to the Fabian Socialist. And there was much more. If you just search Fabian in the 2,000-page document, you'll find all kinds of fun entries. Speaking of, you know, and I have touched on the fact that there really is no difference between when the political pundits, for example, talk about the departure of Steve Bannon from the Trump administration, and now it's going to be a battle between nationalists or nationalism and socialism. That's a completely, really fallacious statement. There really is no battle. Because again, one of the other remarks that Aaron Sargent made in his testimony puts it as well as it can be put. He said, "I am talking about nationalization of business and industry, a government-operated system which is national socialism or Fabian socialism." Who are the national socialists? The Nazis? It's essentially the same network of, it's the same fascistic cabal. It's just a little different flavor of it. And the only difference, I would say, is that nationalism might be a little more messy and slow-moving for the ne'er-do-wells than globalism. It's two legs of the same agenda. They're really no different. So Aaron Sargent's words were fitting. I am talking about nationalization of business and industry, a government-operated system, that's fascism, right? Which is national socialism or Fabian socialism. And he was implored by Congressman Hayes to explain, which he did later. But it's interesting. So speaking of those organizations that Norman Dodd mentioned and described where they came from, what they were doing, and the Fabian Socialists, Norman Dodd talked about the League for Industrial Democracy. He said, and there were all of these organizations, many were named and defined. Norman Dodd said the League for Industrial Democracy came into being in 1950 when it was known as the Intercollegiate Socialist Society for the purpose of awakening the intellectuals of this country. That's a Marxist agenda, isn't it? To the ideas and benefits of socialism. This organization might be compared to the Fabian Society in England, which was established in 1884 to spread socialism by peaceful means. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? So there was more, but I digress. I suppose much, 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 much more. I suppose at this point, in the interest of time, if we're running out of time, I will give you Norman Dodd's remarks from his initial testimony before the committee on May 11, 1954. Norman Dodd said, "This may explain why the foundations have played such an active role in the promotion of the social sciences." This gets back to B.F. Skinner and the Skinner box. This may explain why the foundations have played such an active role in the promotion of the social sciences, why they have favored so strongly the employment of social sciences by the federal government, and why they seem to have used their influence to transform education into an instrument for social change. We wish to stress the importance of questioning change only when it might involve developments detrimental to the interests of the American people. Remember, progress far from consisting in change depends on retentiveness. Remember? Norman Dodd said, "We wish to stress the importance of questioning change only when it might involve developments detrimental to the interests of the American people, or when it is promoted by a relatively small and tightly knit group backed by a disproportionately large amount of money which could threaten the American ideal of competition. In summary, our study of these entities and their relationship to each other seems to warrant the inference that they constitute a highly efficient functioning whole." Its product is apparently an educational curriculum designed to indoctrinate the American student from matriculation to the consummation of his education. In contrast, it contrasts sharply with the freedom of the individual as the cornerstone of our social structure. For this freedom, it seems to substitute the group, the will of the majority, and a centralized power to enforce this will, presumably in the interest of all. Its development and production seems to have been largely, well, I'll leave that to the listener to search out. And for these reasons, Norman Dodd said, it has been difficult for us to dismiss the suspicion that, latent in the minds of many of the social scientists, has lain the belief that, given sufficient authority and enough funds, human behavior can be controlled, and that this control can be exercised without risk to either ethical principles or spiritual values, and that therefore the solution to all social problems should be entrusted to them. See that? They want to play God. In the light of this suspicion and the evidence which supports it, it has been difficult to avoid the conclusion that social scientists of the persuasion I have been discussing have been accepted by foundations, government, and education as though their claims were true or fact. I would add, this is in the face of the fact that their validity has been disputed by men well-trained in the same disciplines. But do you hear from those dissenting voices? No, fewer and fewer, lesser and lesser. In spite of this dispute, within his own ranks, listen to this. Norman Dodd says it brilliantly. In spite of this dispute within his own ranks, the social scientist is gradually becoming, and he is beguiled too by the same folk. Remember, who was it that said the smart people are the most susceptible? Oh, I forget. But continuing, in spite of this dispute within his own ranks, the social scientist is gradually becoming dignified by the title social engineer, quote unquote, which should be horrific. Social engineer, indeed, like we're all cattle. This implies that the objective viewpoint of the pure scientist, or the real scientist, you might say, is about to become obsolete in favor of techniques of control. It also suggests that our traditional concept of freedom as a function of natural and constitutional law has already been abandoned by the social engineer, quote unquote, and brings to mind our native fear of control, however well intended. Back to the Skinner box, right? But into the Skinner box you go, all of us, every last one of us. So perhaps briefly back to Carol Reese's testimony, because it's shocking. Carol Reese said, the facts will show that as usual is the ordinary taxpaying citizen who foots the bill for this social engineering, this psychological manipulation. The method by which this is done seems fantastic to reasonable men. Remember, it's indistinguishable from magic. For these communists and socialists seize control of fortunes left behind by capitalists when they die and turn these fortunes around to finance the destruction of capitalism or freedom, you might say. Is there, come on, that just sounds like a chimerical notion. It's outlandish. Oh no, Carol Reese cited an example. Listen to this. The members of this house were amazed when they read just recently that the Ford Foundation, the largest and newest of the tax-free trust funds, had just appropriated $15 million to be used to investigate, quote unquote, the investigating powers of Congress from the critical point of view. Think about that. Ford Foundation is investigating Congress, investigating Ford Foundation and others. Carol Reese went on to say, the members of the House Committee on Un-American Activities, of which Judge Veld is chairman, have a great deal of personal knowledge gained by hours spent in listening to sworn testimony from communists and ex-communists and those who seek refuge in the Fifth Amendment as to the extent of the treasonous conspiracy in our nation. Think about those words, treasonous conspiracy in our nation, and how sanitized it has become and how anesthetized we are to it. No congressman, listen to these words, no congressman who has gone through such experiences could fail to be alarmed at the fact that $15 million from the fortune of the late Henry Ford, who probably hated communism more than any other American of his day, was to be expended to attack the Congress for inquiring into the nature and extent of the communist conspiracy on grounds that Congress was, quote, abridging civil liberties of individuals by requiring them to answer whether or not they were communists. After all, no committee of Congress ever had a fund of $15 million to finance its inquiries, hire a staff, conduct its research, and print and circulate its findings. The House Committee on Un-American Activities has a budget of only $300,000 for this biennium, 1/50th of the sum of the Ford Foundation proposed to expend for a refutation of its findings and those of other committees of the Congress engaged in similar pursuits. The communists have their own agency to smear the committees of the United States Congress and to defend communists hailed before them. It is called the Civil Rights Congress and has been listed by the Attorney General as communist and subversive. To give it liberal respectability, Mr. Paul Hoffman, former president of the Ford Foundation, was made chairman of this king-sized Civil Rights Congress endowed by the Ford Foundation. The Fund for the Republic, as this Ford Foundation agency is named, has announced that it will make grants for an immediate and thorough investigation of Congress. Think about the hubris. During the last few weeks of the 82nd Congress, a select committee of seven members of the House conducted pursuant to House Resolution 561, a somewhat hasty, limited, and abbreviated inquiry into the administration of certain tax-exempt foundations, included the huge Ford Foundation. So this is, and there's much more. It should be shocking to folks, though. The realization of what has been happening in America. Who is watching the watchers? The watchers watching Congress are unwatched as they create this control grid of all life. You ask all life in America from somebody. You concerned? I am. We'll talk more about this probably tomorrow. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Stay tuned for Dr. Deagle. Take care. God bless. Bye.
From green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get CalmMind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on CalmMind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order CalmMind at NutriMedical.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.